Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. I don't know if you need to turn to that or look at the wall or something. The whole verse isn't there. And I use that. I don't usually start this message with that verse. I usually use it a little bit later. But it'll work fine here. And then we'll go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and spend a little bit more time there. Let's pray first. Father, pray that you would be with us and guide in the message tonight. Father, pray that you, Holy Spirit, speak to hearts. Pray these words would be an encouragement, a challenge. Help us to accomplish something for you. Thank you for the opportunity to have influences on the lives of others. In Jesus' name, amen. And I think maybe, but stay standing, we'll read scripture. I did it backwards. Let me say, too, before I read it, you know, Katie, you weren't the only one for whom that bus was hot and sweaty. Brother who? Brother Bo, it's hot and sweaty for him. 5 days. Did he take off work to do it? Are you here tonight? Is he still not here tonight? In heaven. Took off work maybe to do it for 5 days. People say, man, you're crazy. Why would you want to spend your vacation time riding around on a hot bus? Some little 9-year-old girl, not going to amount to anything. What difference is it going to make? I guess looking down from heaven, he thinks that was pretty good use of his vacation that week. Yeah, I believe in investing in people. And that kind of story encourages me. Because you never know which 9-year-old kid or 7 or 14, old Rima that sang up here, somebody knocked on her door, 5-year-old girl, pure bus kid, Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Not a famous church, but just knocking her door, started taking her and her sister to church on a Sunday school bus. Most of the family's still not saved. And just on and on you go. But anyhow, Titus chapter 2 and verse 13 says, looking for that blessed hope. And let's go back and start verse 12. Or verse 11, I guess. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us, the grace of God teaches us, that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says there we're to live, then in verse 12, and then it talks about how we're to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking. So if you take off the, I've forgotten what part is, would you say your English? What part, what is that, soberly, righteous? Take all those adverbs out or something. If you say we are to live looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We ought to be looking for the return of Christ. Turn your Bibles over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Beginning in verse 13, Paul's writing to the Thessalonians here, of course, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Thessalonians were concerned that they thought Christ was going to return. When Christ returned, they were going to be taken up to heaven to be with him. And now some of the folks there in the church had started to die, and Jesus hadn't come back, and they were worried about what was going to happen to the folks who had died. Were they going to miss out on all this? And so Paul writes, God tells Paul, and Paul writes a letter here, verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those who have died, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of our Lord shall not prevent," word means today precede, "prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." I already prayed. Why don't you go ahead and have a seat? Somebody challenged me a while back and said, you know, Brother Jorgensen, somebody needs, you know, we ought to have some messages on prophecy in our churches. And it seems like nobody's preaching on prophecy. And I thought, well, that'd be a good idea. What about that? And I got thinking about it and thought, you know, we ought to have some preacher, and I decided maybe a message on the rapture would be good. Sometimes when you think of prophecy, you think of things that are dull and boring, that we're going to get into all kinds of talk about different dispensations and the beast and trying to interpret things in the Bible and book of Revelation and the beast and what does this symbolize and what does the foot symbolize and what is the toe on the foot and the nail on the toe and trying to sort out things that God had never thought of what they meant. But, you know, you read some books and it's all in there. And you can get that all sorted out, and it'll teach you all about prophecy, or supposedly it will, and try and teach you significance of different things. And so I think some people, as they think about prophecy, think about things that are, oh, it's dull, it's boring, it's, some kind of deep, you take you down deep, stay down long, come up dry. But prophecy doesn't have to be that. Prophecy, like you're talking about here, talking about the future. What's going to happen next? I like talking about the future and what's going to happen next. I mean, I remember as a child, we would talk, and my parents would, we'd talk about, well, we're going on family vacation now. I was reared in Racine, Wisconsin. We're going up to Wisconsin Dells, and we're going to ride the ducks. And those aren't birds, they're kind of like boats or things and on land and in the river and so on. Going to ride the ducks, or we're going to go on the cruise down the river. We'll get to do this and get to do that. And as my parents were talking me about things that were going to happen, boy, I mean, it was exciting to me. I didn't say, oh, you're talking about the future. That's boring. I just want to know what's, sometimes thinking about Christmas coming up and thinking about when, growing up, it was, what am I going to get? And what did mom and dad get me? And boy, I mean, thinking about the future and what was coming next, that was exciting. Now I'm grandpa, and you don't necessarily, it's different because as you approach Christmas, it's not so much about, oh, I can't wait, I want to see, it's, I think I've got something that this grandkid's going to really like. I can't wait for him to open it. And, and so as my wife and I shop and do that kind of, but anticipating the future, I mean, it's exciting. And it ought to be revelation. Prophecy ought to be an exciting subject for the Christian. As you look at different scriptures, and 1 Thessalonians 4 there talks about, the trumpet's going to sound someday. And what's being described there in 1 Thessalonians 4 is the next event in Bible prophecy. It's the next thing that's going to happen. And, Paul's written to the Thessalonians, and he said, look, some of your folks have died, but if you've got your Bible open, you can go back to 1 Thessalonians 4 there. Or, I guess if you have it open, you don't have to go back to it. If you don't have it open, you can go back to it. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul says, look, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren. You got Plymouth brethren, Grace brethren. Got too many ignorant brethren in some churches, I guess. I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Those who have died, their bodies sleeping, their souls alive with Christ, they're saved. Somebody dies, their soul goes immediately to be with Jesus. Jesus said to the thief, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Paul said, for me to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So when the body sleeps, our soul goes immediately to be with Jesus. That makes heaven exciting. It's always a step up. It's always an improvement. But anyhow, don't be ignorant concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now, it's reasonable. You lose a loved one. I remember standing by my mother as she breathed her last breath and transferred over into heaven. And I thought, I miss her. I miss her to this day. Miss my dad. Think sometimes, Dad, I wish I could just sit down and talk to you for an hour or a half an hour. Wish I'd have listened more. And so on. You sorrow, but I don't sorrow like those who have no hope. I'm going to see them again. They're alive, more alive than they were here. And so while I can sorrow, I do miss them. It's not like somebody doesn't have any hope or say, oh, it's over. I'm never going to see them again. It's all gone. It's like, no, hey, I mean, I'm a Christian. Saved people die, they go to heaven. I would not have you sorrow as others which have no hope. Why wouldn't we sorrow? Verse 14. Believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Hey, I'm going to get to see him again. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain of the coming of the Lord, that's us, shall not prevent. And again, it's a 1611 word. You look it up in a dictionary from back then, it'll tell you it means what precede means today. Shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. We're not going first. They're going to start first. Somebody said, why do the dead in Christ rise first? I don't know. It's just what it says. Maybe they got 6 feet further to go or something. But anyhow, they rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, that's us. We which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, voice of the archangel, trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, there I am, verse 17, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The next thing that's going to happen in prophecy, according to the word of God, is this event. The trumpet of God will sound. It says, I think the reference here, and then 1 Corinthians, there'll be a trumpet. I don't know what it'll be, a charge, reveille, I don't know. But there'll be the trumpet will sound. The dead in Christ are going to rise. We which are alive and remain, if we're saved, we are alive, we're remaining here. I mean, that could happen tonight, could happen before I finish this sermon, could happen while you're on your way home, could happen tomorrow, could happen next week, next year, 100 years from now. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I know it's going to happen. And when that comes, again, could be today. The dead in Christ, people who've died last 2,000 years since Christ and the resurrection of Christ, the Christians who've died during that time period, all the way up through my parents and your loved ones and others, folks that passed away yesterday or this morning, Christians, the dead in Christ will rise first. We which are alive and remain, if you're sitting here tonight, you're a born-again Christian, you're going to rise up together with them in the clouds. I don't know if that's talking about clouds of people. There are going to be a lot of them. I'm not sure, but hey, the Bible verse says, behold, he cometh with the clouds. One of my roommates when I was in college had a picture of a beautiful sunset with clouds rolled out there where it looked like they almost formed a highway, off into the horizon, and a beautiful sunset there with the reds and the oranges and the verse underneath it, behold, he cometh with the clouds. And I'd look at that picture and think, wouldn't it be neat if you just saw him walking over across those things tonight? Rapture, we call that event when the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ rise, we which are alive and remain are changed, our body, this mortal body becomes an immortal body, those who have died, the corruptible body, the body is corrupting in the grave, takes on incorruption, and we're all caught up together, we meet Jesus in the clouds, and from then on we're with God forever. Theologians call that event the rapture. Word isn't in the Bible, but that's what it's called, the rapture. Here in churches, you've probably heard preaching on it. At Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you probably hear preaching on it a lot. You're probably saying, Brother Jorgensen, you're teaching us everything we already know. But it doesn't hurt to hear it again. Bible calls that, Titus calls that, in Titus 2:13, the blessed hope. And if we do hope for something, then we with confidence we wait for it. I mean, it's not a hope like, oh, I hope I get a new shotgun. I hope the Cubs win the World Series. I hope. Some things you hope for aren't very likely. I live in Kentucky now. I hoped Kentucky was going to win the national championship last year. But you never know. But I know Jesus is coming. That's a blessed hope. It's a confident expectation. I'm waiting for it. And I ought to be looking for it. And be living my life anticipating the return of Christ. It's called, again, the rapture of the church. That could happen at any moment. Luke chapter 12, verse 40 says, at such a time as ye think not. As a college teacher, I've always thought that meant he's going to come during final exams. At such a time as ye think not. I don't know. Paul seemed to think that he could come in his lifetime, because Paul said then in 1 Thessalonians 4 there, verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them who've already died in the died. We shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Paul thought it could happen while he was alive. Now it didn't. Been a couple thousand years. I look at the events going on around me in the world today, and I think that, boy, it looks like it's getting close. It could happen anytime, but I don't know. It could be another 20 years, 40 years, 80 years, 200 years. I don't know. But, I mean, you know, you look at what... That's a different message. But anyhow, I don't know when it's coming, but I know it's coming. And I know it could come today. And since it could come today, that ought to affect how I live. It ought to affect something about what I'm doing. Paul thought it could happen in his lifetime. Titus chapter 2, verse 13 says we are to live looking. We're to live, how are we supposed to live? Soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. But while we're living, what are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You and I would be living, you know, wonder if he's here yet. Well, if he's here, we'd know it. Wonder if today's the day. You turn over into 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. It says that we are to serve and wait. While we're serving, we're supposed to be waiting. While we're waiting, we're supposed to be serving. You and I as Christians are supposed to serve God. And while we're serving, we're looking, we're waiting for him to return. Same time. It could happen at any moment. And so I ought to be looking. When the rapture does come, it's going to be a glorious time. There'll be a reunion with Christ. There'll be a reunion. Somebody says, oh, that scares me. Why? I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. My wife's saved. She'll be with me. My kids are saved. They'll be there. Grandkids that are old enough are saved. They'll be there. I mean, there'll be a great reunion with Jesus. I'm going to get to see Jesus. I've served him a long time now, prayed to him, talked about him, preached about him around across the country. Around, you know, different places, bus routes, good areas, wealthy areas, poor areas, Maine to Florida, California to Washington, and most every place in between, a couple of foreign countries. I'm going to get to see him. There's going to be a great reunion. It'll be a time of rewards. I'm looking forward to getting rewards. Say, Brother Jones, you shouldn't think about rewards. Jesus set up the program. They're not wrong. I'm looking forward to getting, what are you going to do with those rewards? I'm going to give them back to Jesus. I want to have something to toss at his feet while we're singing and praising him. I want to stand next to your pastor and say, boy, God did a lot through him. He's got a lot of crowns. I got here. It'll be a time of reunion, it'll be a time of rewards, it'll be a time of removal of sin. You're a Christian, one of the most frustrating things in your life if you're trying to live for God is your sin. One of the most frustrating things in my life is my sin. Battling with myself. Somebody says, well, I don't battle with sin. Well, then I guess you just give in and sin, because I'm sure you get tempted. I mean, either you fight it day by day or you give in and do it, one of the two. But there'll be a removal of sin in me. There'll be a removal of sin around me. Won't be any more beard ads. Won't be any more houses of ill repute. Won't be any more immodesty. It'll be a great place to live. There'll be a time of rest. There'll be rejoicing. And heaven's going to be a great place. You know how to live looking forward to it. And, you know, you lose a loved one, you ought to sorrow. All of us do. But it's not like those who have no hope. You're going to see your dad again. I remember my dad had to smoke 2.5 packs of cigarettes a day for 50 years. Probably about 50. Had horrible, they used to call it emphysema, now they call it COPD. Horrible hacking cough, living on oxygen, trying to, get enough air in through lungs that were shot. Coughed so hard with that cough that he cracked ribs. And then you keep coughing and that hurts pretty bad. He was unsaved till 4 weeks to the day, June 16th, 1982, Dr. Jack Hiles went out to his house and personally led him to the Lord. Amen. Called me that Wednesday afternoon, said, "Dad, Jim, I thought you'd want to know that I prayed and trusted Christ today." October 16th, same year, we had his funeral. I thought, if he could have, he wasn't living a comfortable life. I mean, physically. If somebody would have said, "Well, hey, I'm going to move him to Hawaii. Give him a beautiful," I've been there since. I'm not all that excited about moving. I think I got a lot of places I'd rather go than Hawaii, but back then I'd never been. And if I'm going to move him to Hawaii, give him a beautiful condo, set him all up, he'll be out of pain, everything will be great for him. Only thing is, you won't be able to talk to him for the next 35 years. I was 35 at the time. But I'm building another one next door to it, and 35 years from now, plus or minus, we'll move you over into the one next door to him. I thought, that's not too bad. I'll miss him. But I'll see him again. And life will be better for him. He's in a lot better place in Hawaii. And heaven's real. I mean, sorrow, but not like those who don't have any hope. Now look, heaven is real. The rapture is coming. And I got down. Since I know Jesus is coming again, how does that affect? What should I do? Number one, I ought to be sure I'm saved. When the trumpet sounds, when the rapture occurs, the dead in Christ shall rise. Then we Christians that are alive and remain will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air and so on. That's Christians. If you're here tonight and you're not sure you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, if you're like Brianna that testified, I remember my parents talked to me, but I don't remember what I said or did. Or you ought to settle that tonight. Now, I'm not trying to put doubts in anybody's mind, but if you're sitting here saying, I don't have a clue, you ought to get it settled. I remember Mrs. John Rice telling me once, "Jim, it doesn't hurt to," I like to check up on my salvation once in a while. It'd be a horrible thing to die and find out I was lost. And when I do, somebody says something like that, I just go back to the time I don't remember all the details, as a 10-year-old girl where I was out behind the barn and somebody talked and I prayed and I trusted Jesus. I did it, settled it, it's done. Didn't mean to wake you up. Kind of a flimsy pulpit, isn't it? But I ought to be sure I'm saved, number one. Number two, I ought to try and win others to Christ. Romans 1, 14 to 16, I'm debtor. I owe the world, the unsaved world, the gospel. I'm going to heaven. People who don't trust Christ as Savior, they don't become lost after they hear the gospel and reject it. They're already lost. They're condemned already. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. The world was condemned already. Came to save the world and get them out of that combination, out of that condemnation. And I've got an obligation to take gospel tracts or the Bible or a testimony and try and get people saved, win them to Christ. I ought to be sure I'm saved. I ought to try and lead others to Christ. I ought to live a clean, separated life. 1 John 3, verses 2 and 3 says, "Every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure," or something like that. I ought to try and live a clean, separated life. He's coming back. You've heard sermons, "I don't know when Dad's coming back. I better have it ready." I ought to try and live right. Number four, I ought to live for eternal values. Someday everything that you can put in your wallet's going to be worthless. Your house, your land, your cars, my house, my land, my cars won't matter. None of those have value in heaven. I ought to live with eternity's values in view. I could see him tonight. The rapture could come. If we're all saved here, we could all see him tonight. I want to live so that I've got something that'll be worthwhile when I get to heaven. Not like the rich fool who laid up, so I'm going to lay up more and more so I can retire. Take my ease and be merry. I want to live so that when I see him, I've got something to give him. Got some rewards that I can pass back to him. I want to live for eternal things and such things as are eternal rather than for these things in 2 Peter 3 that are going to be burned up. I want to live with eternity's values in view. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Wonder while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed if there's somebody here tonight say, Brother Jorgensen, I'm not sure about heaven. I don't know if the rapture came for and Christians left, if I would go or if I'd stay here. I just don't know. When I die, I don't know where I'm going to heaven. I don't know if I'm going to heaven. If that's your case, I'd like to pray for you. Would you raise your hand? Somebody would say, Brother Jorgensen, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. I just don't know. Maybe you're like the girl that testified tonight. Wonder, I don't see anybody. I wonder, though, if God's spoken to many of our hearts about trying to win others to Christ, living a clean, separated life, living with value on eternal things. Brother Bo could have taken another job during that week off and made some money, but it wouldn't be worth anything to him in heaven. Spending a week on that hot, sweaty bus has value today when he's in heaven. If God's spoken to your heart about something during the message in a special way, I'd like to pray for you. Would you raise your hand? Or something like that. God's spoken to you about living for eternal values, living to win souls, living a clean, separated life. See several hands around the auditorium. Let's stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. I'll pray in a minute. After I pray, the piano will begin to play. When she does, if you raised your hand, I'd invite you to come down and kneel at the altar. I know you make decisions in seats, but there's something about kneeling at an altar that just does you good, does me good. Father, I pray that you'd speak to hearts tonight. Help us to live with eternal values in view. Help us to live in light of the fact that you could come at any moment. To realize that, to try and get the gospel to the lost, to live clean, separated lives, and to live with eternal values in view, we pray in Jesus' name.